it really does become a problem because people aren't built for that type of relationship with each other.
As I'm running closer to Christ, I'm finding people around me that are also running.
God called us to community. He wants us to talk to people. He wants us to testify to people.
So I think it's important to have consistency as well as to keep seeking.
You're listening to the Such Is Life podcast. Fighting through the noise of the struggles of people in the 21st century.
Hey man, that's not right. You can't do it like that. Do it like this.
With the Bible unashamedly at the forefront. Seeking turning on alignment of spirit, mind, and body God's way. Here are your hosts, Christopher Nelson II and David Soto.
Tell them we stay winning.
Welcome back to yet another week of the Such Is Life podcast. Chris, as per usual, David across my screen, and we have two lovely guests with us this evening. Ladies, say hello to the pod.
Well, hello.
Hello, everybody.
Spectacular. I love to see it. And I mean, it's going to be a good episode. It's been a ride thus far, hasn't it, bud? First few
months. It's been fun. Sadly, I could not join the last podcast because I was in Philly. Thanks for holding down the fort. But now we get these two amazing, lovely women. One of them is in Costa Rica, just out here killing it. That's Amanda. And our second person is a cosmetologist who's Lauren. Two of the most wisest people, two of the most amazing and beautiful women I've ever met and had the privilege of working with. So for that, like, you know, it's kind of crazy how we all met because it's all by coincidences.
Yeah.
But it truly is something amazing. But enough of me talking. How about Amanda? Do you want to introduce and say a few things about yourself before we get started?
Yeah, what to say? My name's Amanda. I do accounting for a living. I've been a Christian my whole life. I've dug deeper into the Bible in my 20s and happy to be here.
Yeah.
And finish us off, Lauren.
I'm Lauren. I do hair for a living. I'm very passionate about it, very passionate about people. I'm thankful to have met you guys in the group so that we can just dig deeper into our faith. And I'm thankful for this topic we have to talk about today, singleness, because it's a big, important topic that a lot of people, especially within our age bracket, struggle with. So, or not just struggle with, but, you know, there's a lot around it. So
I completely agree. All right. Let's get some context on this. Why are we talking about this and everything? So I'm just going to speak for like probably 2 seconds. Mostly, there are two reasons why we're talking about singleness, especially after Valentine's Day. I feel like when it comes to singleness, a lot of people tend to see it as a curse, you know? We're going to try to really take on that responsibility and see if we can change our frame of thought about it. Another thing why singleness is also important is a lot of people are like trying to find their one, you know, trying to, you know, they're skipping the steps of trying to find marriage. And that's not, I feel like that's just not necessary. A book that I read called Relationship Goals by Mike Todd talks about maximizing singleness. And so that's the area that I kind of want to take it on from. But for that, Chris, what's your context as to why we're talking about singleness?
Well, I mean, you kind of summarized it pretty well. We're talking about singleness because, number one, we're single. Number two, it's the foundation of who you are as a person, especially as a believer in Jesus Christ who's pursuing discipleship. What does that look like in my own life right now, outside of the context of a dating relationship, outside of the context of a marriage relationship? And then once we have that nailed down, once we have an understanding of how we're supposed to pursue personal growth, we can take the fruit that's born in that season, so to speak, and to translate that into the other seasons further down the line. Now that we understand how God wants us to grow personally, we can transform that into better dating and date better. We can transform that into better seasons of like maybe engagement and then marriage by extension. So it really all does start with the season of singleness. And once we get that cornered in a sense, it makes it easier to approach everything else by extension.
With that being said, ladies, where do you guys want to start?
So I think we should start on what we should be doing in our season of singleness. One thought I had that popped into my mind first was putting on the full armor of God every day. Mm-hmm. And in our season of singleness, which can look different for everybody. But I found a verse I really like about it that says, put on the full armor of God. It's in Ephesians 6:11, by the way. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. I think the thought specifically I had is putting on the full armor of God every single day so that we can withstand temptation specifically, mm-hmm. which is one of the devil's schemes as it's talking about in this verse. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a good place to start. Amanda, you got any comments? I'd love to jump in, but you go first.
Ladies first.
Yeah, I think one important thing about that, being somebody that's single, it's harder to do that, and it's easier for the devil to get you because God wants us in community. And as a single person, it's harder to be in community because you don't have that person backing you up and keeping you accountable. So I think it's important to also surround yourself with the people that are going to help you put that armor back on when it's hard for you. So yeah, I think it's an uphill battle, and I think it's difficult to actively think about that every day, but I think it's something that's super important and something that's necessary.
Yeah, that's good. Those are both really good points, you know, because we as people don't tend to take the idea behind Ephesians 6 seriously enough, at least that part of Ephesians 6, right, where we're talking about putting on the full armor of God. And right. What does that truly mean, and why does it truly mean that? Because it's the fact of the matter is, 2 Corinthians 10, the largest battle we face as humans on the planet Earth is the battle going on within the spiritual realm. So at that point, we have to ask ourselves the question is like, what is our role within the spiritual realm? How do we fight that battle? How do we overcome that beast? And part of that is realizing, first and foremost, how small we truly are within the scheme of the physical realm, or the spiritual realm rather, as a whole, and understand that it's God and Satan, for the most part, going right at it. And we are the end result of that circumstance that God has allowed to happen whenever he allows it to happen. So it's our job and our responsibility to understand how we align ourselves better with God, right? And allow him to actually govern the decisions that we make in our life by extension. And I don't think it's the least to value that in your relationship setting when you're pursuing that foundation as a whole. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Totally.
Mm-hmm. At least for me, where I was thinking of taking this was just the idea of like finding your identity in Christ. I feel like, especially when it comes to like people who come out of their relationships, like, you know, whether they relationships have failed or like a friendship failed, a lot of us tend to put our identity within that person. So I feel like finding our identity in Christ is just super important. It's why Psalms 139 says, I believe it's 139, says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And notice how David's speaking that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, he kind of takes on this personal identity. Another area is like also the idea of Colossians, like, what do you want to be known for, which is the main topic that why Paul writes to the Colossae people is, what do they want to be known for? So I feel like for us, like putting on that full armor of God is just that knowing that our identity is found in Christ, and knowing that, what is it? How can I explain? Knowing that God is also equipping us to take on every task. And so what I believe that's also like what's really hard for people to grasp is that when it comes to singleness, like, you have to fully find out who you are. Like, you don't know who you are, and you don't know what you want. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm still speaking to myself here, guys. Like, I don't know who I am, and I don't know who I want to become, but God has that direction. And that's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added on to you. Which is why knowing that you're a child of God and your identity is in Christ, I believe is just one of the firm foundations that we as people need to remind ourselves in every circumstance. And I think singleness is super, super important, especially since we're tackling, at least in Denver, what I know is that like we're like the third loneliest city. And so that's scary. Like, that means that like, how can I explain? Like, out of 10 people, three of them are basically going to find community. That's what it's basically saying. And that's mm-hmm. scary to me, because I mean, I felt like God gave me you guys, and I'm happy to have you guys, because you guys mm-hmm. reaffirm my identity. And so, yeah, that's kind of like what I want to leave there for you. Just marinate.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was also going to say that it's important in the season of singleness to treat it like a gift, and to also keep in mind that before you have that companion, that's a person, to know that the most important companion you have is Jesus, always by your side. And I think it's easy to lose sight of that in the day-to-day motions. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, which is Jesus. So I just feel like that's something to keep in mind on the day-to-day basis when temptation does come in, or you're having your moments of loneliness, or this or this or that, or forgetting about your gift of singleness. It's important to know who your number one companion is. You know, so
there's that verse. Someone fill me in on this, cause I forget what verse it is, but it's the first verse where it's like, don't you know you're worth more than many sparrows? Somebody fill me in, like fill in there, because I forgot.
That's Isaiah. Isaiah talks of, I think it's Isaiah 52 or something. I know, somewhere in the 50s, where he talks about, don't you know you're worth dying for? Like, you're worth nations. You're worth, like, basically the whole saying is saying that, I think I wrote it down actually in one of them. I did not. Dang it. It was talking about how, like, don't you know that you're worth dying for? Talking about like giving up nations and countries for you. So it's in Isaiah. I know that. Chris,
you know?
Well, Jesus also talks about it too. So, like, you can bring up the Jesus aspect. He makes that point very clear.
That is true.
But anyways, I guess my point is, like, Jesus knows our worth. He sees our worth. And as far as like being a companion to us, it's been interesting being in Costa Rica too, because I've left my family, my friends, like everybody that keeps me accountable and keeps me, you know, on the right path, the straight and narrow. Since I've been here, I met a Canadian girl that's a Christian, like the security guard at the place I was staying. He asked me if I was Christian. It's just crazy. Like, no matter where you are in the world, God has you covered. He is covering you. He's with you. And like, it has been so prevalent to me the past week, leaving home and leaving everything I know to come here, that God is my companion and he is here for me. And yeah, it's really cool. So that's been something I've seen for sure.
Right. So where do you guys want to take that issue then? Because I have a place that we could potentially take that issue if you want to start there.
Sure.
All right, let's go. Okay. David's ready. He's ready to dive in. He's like, I got 20, bud.
Me?
28?
I got like 20 places we can go this, but take this route, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I mean, we can talk about them all. We can build off of all of them at some point in time. But perspective I wanted to start off with was more so the general one. So you mentioned the idea that people are lonely. A lot more than seemingly in the past, in recent history. So like 3 out of 10 people will find community. And I kind of was thinking about the question that I wanted you guys' opinion on. Why do you think that circumstance is the way it is? Why do you think that loneliness is going up? Because if loneliness kind of is a crippling factor in the pursuit of relationship, obviously, both from a friendship perspective, but also certainly from a dating perspective. It's awful hard to date someone if you're, you know, isolating yourself or feeling isolated. So why do you think that those circumstances are the way they are? Why are people lonelier now, seemingly more than they ever have been in recent history?
Do you want one of us to answer, or do you want popcorn to somebody?
Yo, popcorn. Anybody at all, go for it.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think it's because of our hardened hearts. I think it's one of those things that it's one of those hardened hearts situations where it's like a friend does me wrong, people do me wrong, dating sucks because there's like not good options out there. Like, not on like Tinder or not even on anything. There's too much, you know? And I think to a certain extent, our hearts have just gotten hardened and we're not able to forgive or be forgiven, if that makes sense. The common saying, or at least the common things that I've noticed from people, is that people are like, oh, he did me dirty, let me do him back dirty, you know? And, or like at the same time, like, oh, he cheated on me, like, let me like slash his tires. I mean, I think of, is it Alicia Keys? Is it Alicia Keys? I need to like I dug my key into that song. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah. Carrie Underwood. Yeah. Like, oh, you think goodness. Of those type of lyrics from music too. Like this idea of revenge, you know? And like,
yeah.
And that's just not the Christian. That's not, at least that's not our, what we're pursuing, you know? And that's hard. That's super hard, because on the fact that we're called to forgive one another and to even like love on one another's faults. So I really do believe that that's probably one of the factors. I'm not saying it's the factor, but I really do believe it's a factor as to why. Amanda, what do you think? I feel like you got something for me.
Yes, that. And I also think, not to be end of the worldy, but as we do get more and more close to that point, I think it's the devil's agenda to isolate people, because when you're alone, you're more vulnerable to his deception, to his to his temptation that he creates, all those things. And he's done that by technology, world epidemics, like all these things have led us to be more and more antisocial and more online and less connected. Like, social media was created to connect us, but it disconnects us. And I think that can go into dating apps and all that too. I think it's created such a divide in how relationships are meant to be found. So I think that's a huge thing. I think it's up to us to be active in the sense of finding people, creating a community. I think God wants us in community. So it's our responsibility to go find that and go create that, regardless of what the devil wants or what he's working against us with. So.
I totally agree. I think to keep it simple, sin is one of the biggest answers. I think the more our senses are overloaded with things going on, to add onto Amanda's point with technology, what's on our phones, what's on TV, you know, the more we sometimes, there's just a lot out there that you can dig into on things like that. And a lot of it's sinful. And when your face is buried in those things and instant hits of dopamine, then it's hard to be able to look up at what's around you and, you know, have conversation with people face to face. So I do think it creates this like sense of isolation, which is part of the devil's agenda, what the devil wants, for us all to be in. So I think it boils down to sin.
I think those are all good answers. I think I'm going to take a perspective that's a little bit more subtle than most people probably realize. I'm going to say it's a lot due to the fact that we've elevated transactionalism within our culture. So whereas you used to actually have to really truly get to know someone in order for them to have a relationship with you in a transactional sense, like you provide me this service or you provide me with that type of thing. Now it's just like, oh, just give me what I need and let's get on with it. Now, obviously that's the majority. That's not to say that there are still good relationships being built in the world that do have an understanding of, I need to build a relationship with this person so that we can both get something positive out of this, not even just in a relationship sense, but just in a very general, maybe business sense. But it seems like the majority of society doesn't understand that. And therefore we have the more transactional approach. You give me what I need, I'll give you what you need, and we'll get on with it. And when that starts to wander into relationships, whether dating, whether friendships, whatever, what have you, it really does become a problem, because people aren't built for that type of relationship with each other. They're built to have an in-depth understanding of the people in their lives And that's irregardless of the fact of the matter that might be you're very little involved in my life. You're involved in my life in a very limited capacity, or you're really involved in my life in a major capacity. It doesn't really matter. Either way, we were built for depth in our relationships with each other, and to have the transactional approach be glorified as we move forward as a society, it's becoming a problem. And I think that does significantly contribute to the issue of loneliness, because now you're like, well, can I really trust this person? Right. And trust is foundational for any relationship, any friendship that is successful. So that's what I think we have going on.
Yeah. So can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a lot about the problem itself, but I kind of want to hear your guys' perspective on how do we fix this issue? How do we fix this issue of loneliness? What can we dig into and what can we ask you?
Oh boy, that's a big one. Chris, do you want to take that one on, or do you want me to take it on?
I mean, I'll take it on first. You were a little bit sticky on the back end of that question, but I'm going to assume that you were overall asking generally, how do we fix the issue of loneliness, which is the overall question you're getting at, I assume.
Correct.
It's a tricky one, right? Because So it's a tricky one because we have so many differing views in society, and people have so many different foundations that they build their life perspective off of, which does obviously complicate the issue. But I think that when you're talking about loneliness, you have to first and foremost be willing to do the things that you know how to do. And that's not with the consideration of other people's perception of what you're doing in mind. Okay. So foundationally, how that looks is that you have to approach life from the perspective of there are things that are true. There are things that are good for me. There are things that are right for me. How do I optimize those elements of my life? And once you've decided to make that pursuit paramount in your overall life pursuit, now it becomes easier to go out into the world and do the things you know how to do, say the things you know how to say when you're supposed to say them. And when you do that, all of a sudden you start to build trust, because people will look at you and think, well, that's a person who is doing life to the best of their ability, and they really don't care what anybody else thinks. Because it's a fact of the matter that most people aren't pursuing that. Most people are pursuing comfort, and comfort is completely perpendicular to optimality. Okay, so putting yourself out there, being bold, is a good way to start breaking the loneliness cycle, because you've made it very clear to yourself and to the world, hey, I'm pursuing what is right to be pursued. Let's do that. And that confidence is very, it can be picked up easily by others. It's contagious, if you will. So you can be a trendsetter. You can be an agent for change in those interpersonal relationships if you do decide on your end, first and foremost, to pursue that. David, I don't know what you think about that, or Amanda, for that matter.
I was going to take it from something that Connor talked about last week, or this recent Thursday, where it's like the godly relationships require godly character. I thought that was just so powerful. And so the areas that I was thinking about when it comes to relationships in character are like the ideas of like truly, genuinely loving on one another. Romans talks about like truly loving. Don't just love a person, but genuinely love them. Friendship, the idea of like a friendship, like even like David and Jonathan, like those two people literally are considered like blood brothers. Like Saul adopted him, and by doing that, literally they became like soul brothers, is how I see it. The idea of loyalty, respect, and honesty, and out of all of them, honesty. I think just this idea of just being upfront with people, whether you agree with their opinions or not, that's to the side. I think this idea of just being genuinely straight up and be like, hey, I don't agree with you. I think about it this way. I guess a story that I can tell just because, you know, I like throwing out stories. I remember all four of us were, I was barely meeting you guys for the first time. And I remember our first topic was the Israel topic. And Amanda was like, you know, having some very like valid questions towards Justin, and different person. And to the point that like, like, we had such a great discussion. I wanted to jump in and wanted to, like, you know, equip both of you. And I shot both of you guys a video that helped me out a lot to understand where that's coming from, you know? And, like, in the end, like, we all grew closer. Why? Because we're all seeking that. We're all pursuing Christ. So we're all seeking that, you know? I think it's this idea of, like, as I'm running closer to Christ, I'm finding people around me that are also running, which is why, like, that goes back into the godly character aspect. So that's just how I see it. Amanda, do you want to finish it up?
Yeah, I think another aspect of loneliness is the fact of how many opinions you see of other people online. You post a picture, you get nervous about how many likes you're going to get, if people are going to think bad of you, if they're going to say good things about you, like all these things. And it makes you think so much about yourself instead of what actually matters and what God says you are. So I think in a sense, it could be us thinking a lot about ourselves, too much about ourselves, to the point of like selfishness almost. So I think potentially like being okay with just being ourselves, being mediocre, if it's that, you know, being cringy, if it's that, being open to not caring what other people's opinions are and doing it anyways, because that's what God called us to. God called us to community. He wants us to talk to people. He wants us to testify to people. And how we do that is to see ourselves through God's eyes instead of what social media is saying. So.
Yeah.
I guess we're at... Oh, go ahead. Anybody else?
I was just going to say, I like the answers.
I guess where I was going to take it, is there a wrong reason to be single? I mean, we all talk about how, like, you know, a lot of us like are trying to get out of the single phase. This is just something that kind of ruminated me like 2 weeks ago, where it's like, I'm so happy being single. I'm glad that got Paul, like, or God put me in this area of singleness. But is there a wrong mentality? And what I mean by that is, I see a lot of posts, especially what Amanda talks about, where it's like, I see a lot of posts, especially from guys, where they're like, they end up putting all their time into this girl. Just, it's always with relationships and girls. We'll get into that later. And they always say, oh yeah, like, now I'm just going to focus on God and wait for God to bring me my wife, which to a certain extent, I don't know, is true or not, because of the fact that even the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds favor in the Lord. So my question is there a wrong reason to be single? Also, what's his face? Ryan Weckelman also talks about this idea of a wrong reason to be single is to choose isolation versus community. And so I kind of want to throw that in the ring. What do you guys think?
Yes, there's a wrong reason to be single. Absolutely. And it centers in, yeah, well, you know me, I give just the most straightforward answers of all time, obviously. No, I'm kidding. But it's true. It's true. There is a wrong reason to be single. And I think the core of that wrong reason is the issue of not committing to something. Okay. So people get stuck in the season of not only being single, but being uncommitted to a purpose. And when you're not committed in a season of singleness, then all of a sudden you become confused really easily. Mm-hmm. And that shows up in your maybe half-hearted attempts to maybe show interest in a girl, not do that very clearly, communicate that clearly, and like wander in this, like, should I ask her out? Should I really? Is this the right time? Is she the right girl type of thing? And if you're not actually going to commit to that, then you probably shouldn't do that at all. Actually, not even probably, you shouldn't, because you'll just end up confusing yourself. And it works the same way in the reverse, right? If you're in the season of singleness, but you're leaning more towards being single and not pursuing someone, well, then what are you doing in your singleness? You have to have a plan for that hammered out. You should be getting in God's word. You should be growing. You should be building your spiritual foundation, because that sets the precedent for everything else that happens in your life. And if you're not doing that, and you're kind of just fulfilling every single desire that you can reasonably fulfill, it's like, well, you're not optimizing that either. So the issue of not being committed to an objective in the season of singleness is really an issue that we don't understand enough. And if we did, we would start to see that confusion go away, because it seems like confusion is the number one issue that single young adults, especially in the United States today, struggle with. And it's like, well, okay, commit to something. Now, at least if you're committed to something, you can set metrics and you can measure, well, am I growing in this area? How am I being, how's my growth being hampered type of thing? And you can grow in some way, but that growth can't happen if you're not tethered to an objective that you're committed to accomplishing.
Yeah, I think there's the right side of it where God says, if you're able to be single and not have sexual desires, then you should do that because you're closer to God that way. But if you do have sexual desires, if you do have that, you know, human desire, then it's better to get married, and it's under God to get married to one person and have that one person. So unless you have the pure intention of chasing God and going after God, and that's it, like, I don't see the point of wanting to be single if you have that desire, that human desire in you. And some people don't, but most, majority of people do. So
I agree. I think there's a wrong reason to do a lot of things, including being single. I think being single comes with many temptations of its own. So I think it's important to have consistency as well as to keep seeking God and dig in his word and his will for your life versus the world while you're in this season of singleness because of all that temptation that comes around you that you face. I just think the consistency part of what you're, the objective you're seeking in it is really, really important, because otherwise I feel like it's really easy to like slip in and out and slip back and forth and kind of be in this like lukewarm spot instead of consistently seeking him.
Just to kind of help out, what is it, Amanda? That is 1 Corinthians 7:6-8. It's better to be single than it is to be married. I think one of those things that people just don't consider when it comes to that subject of what is it, the idea of like hardening your heart and choosing to be open, is this idea of if you close your heart, it technically leads you more into being manipulated by the wrong people. Why? Because people tend to have this, or at least you, whoever the victim is that's hardening their heart, they tend to have the I know better mentality. So they start thinking of, oh, maybe I know that this person's good for me, when in reality they're not relying on God's strength. I guess another area that also like speaks about singleness is, again, if anybody's like looking for a chapter to read, I just like throwing this out there for people. 1 Corinthians 7:7 talks about both marriage and singleness. But the area that I mainly want to talk about is verse 32, which says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. How can he please the Lord? But a married man is concerned about the affairs the affairs of his wife, or not the affairs, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned with the Lord's affairs. Her alarm is devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can she please her husband? I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. And so I feel like when it comes to that, I think we don't really realize that like our singleness is our opportunity to really go all in. Just go all in and see how far the rabbit hole goes. And I know that like, if each one of us desires to be married, then God's going to fulfill that, you know, God's going to give us that, you know what I mean? Because it's also our desire, but we have to trust in his timing that he knows better, because if our heart isn't in the right place, we're going to choose wrong too. Anyway. So where do you guys want to go with that? Because there's like, we could talk about even the context of this chapter of why Paul wrote it too, which is also interesting.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, before I committed myself to Christ, like how I've committed myself now, I've dated outside of the church. And so I've seen from a firsthand perspective, like where that leads, and it's nothing good. And I always draw this image where it's like two dots, and then there's one dot up here, and that's like God is up here and that's the two people. And if you don't have a, you need like a line connecting those dots and a line connecting to God too. So like just representing that it's important to have a Christ-centered relationship. And that's super important when you're single to be searching for that, somebody that you can have a Christ-centered relationship, because you do worry about the desires of your husband. You do worry about the desires of your wife. So their desires better be God. And while we're single, it needs to be us chasing God for ourselves and becoming that person that our future partner deserves. We need to chase God. We need to become a Christ-fearing person that God's called us to be. So when we find a relationship, when we get into a relationship, we're ready for it to worry about their desires, which is the Lord. And they're ready to worry about our desires, which is the Lord. So I think that's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Something that just came to my mind in my heart today, along with like what comes with chasing God down and having him to make sure we become that person for our future partner and for us, is spent the time we spend with him, the alone time we spend with him. It's just, I think I've talked to you recently about it, David, but just, it's been on my heart, just setting that side time aside for him each day, to focus on him and what his word says, to prepare our hearts more, to become that person. Yeah. Not only for our partner, but who God makes us to be and who we are identified at, in through Christ.
Yeah. I want to add, we keep talking about how we chase God and he'll figure out the rest for us. Sorry, I lost my point. Let me think about it for a second.
Ooh, I know exactly what you're going to go with.
Oh?
You go for it then. Maybe I'll remember in a second. I can.
All right. This is just my thought. I kind of feel like you're kind of saying we keep asking God to chase, right? So like we focus our eyes on God and like God worry about everything else, right? But I think your question, if I'm thinking about the same thing as you, Amanda, it's like, how do we know? Is that how do we know when to take the jump? Is that where you're going with, or is it more?
It wasn't that. We can talk about that too. I guess what I was going for is like just emphasizing that point that when we are single, it's okay to just be single too. Like, I know, like, to an extent we want to pursue, and if it comes, it comes. But I think in our life, we'll know when we're supposed to show interest or pursue somebody. And so really focusing in on the fact that we're living for God right now, and God's going to fulfill that desire for us when it comes. There's no reason to rush a relationship. There's no reason to worry about a relationship, be sad you're not in, because our life paths are so different from everybody else's. Like, everybody gets married, everybody's having kids, everybody buys house together, everybody's celebrating those people. So when you're single, you're not as celebrated by people publicly as people in relationships are. I think it's important for society as a whole to celebrate people that are single as well. So like Christian brothers and sisters, I think it's really important for us to build each other up in each other's singleness.
Yeah. I mean, that's important. You gotta find the community somewhere, right? It's gotta be excavated from that deep, deep hole that it has to be buried in for whatever reason, just because people don't initially like community unless they see value in it eventually, or at some point down the road. But yes, it is important. So actually, I have a question for you guys then. So we've talked about this very conceptually. What does this look like to you guys practically to maximize your season of singleness with all the various concepts that we've talked about at this point?
Are you going to popcorn it? Please popcorn.
It's always a popcorn, fam. I like listening to all David. Of you lovely people speak.
All right. if you're called to singleness, you're called to serve. That's the motto I live by. So for me, like, to maximize my singleness, man, like, I pour all my heart and soul into serving kids ministries, like serving the next generation. That's just something that I feel called to. So therefore, like, my purpose, I know God's calling me to pursue and pour on to the next generation. So that's like youth, kids, also even like mentoring and like also like loving on others, you know. I think just not worrying about it and just choosing to pour my heart, my whole heart, into serving one another. And also, like, if opportunity comes, like, even spread the gospel. I think that's how you maximize singleness. Like, yeah, are there days that I do feel like I want to be married and have kids? Yes, there are those days where I do want that. But I think the work that God has for me is just way too important to focus on being married and having kids. Because, you know, Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and place for everything, you know, and all good things come from above. So, like, knowing that that's going to happen is something that keeps me grounded. For me personally, if anybody is interested in learning a story that truly gives you a perfect perspective, at least for me, read Genesis 24 with how Isaac got his wife. Abraham chose it out. And it was so impacted by the Lord that that's like one of the main things that there's something that I want my dad to do with that when it comes to my, like, how I find future relationships. And I'll talk about that later. That's a little personal, but that story, it just goes to show how much God intertwines the whole thing. How much God has in control of how he cares about who you date, who you be with. And so for me, like, I love pouring on to the next generation and whoever that special someone is, whether away or close by. I think it's just going to, when the time is right, God will make it happen. A lot. Isaiah talks about it. But that being said, Lauren, how about you, since you popcorned me?
Sure. What comes to my mind to maximize the season of singleness? Obedience is a big one. Mm-hmm. Obedience. One of the things that comes to my mind is just listening to God's voice and studying his word to better do that. I think about it a lot at my job because I deal with people who know and love Jesus, and I deal with people who are completely turned away from him and everywhere in between. And I think about it and I'm like, man, I can be like sharing God, you know, just letting his voice and his words work through me and obeying that so that I can do what I feel like many of us are called to do by spreading the gospel, the good news. So obedience is a big one. I think along kind of with what David said, serving and showing Christ's love to others, by leading them, serving through the church, even in groups, things like that. Another one, like I mentioned earlier, is quiet time with God, dedicating that time to him. I just think it's so important to set aside that time each day for him. And really thinking of your singleness as a gift and using it as a gift, because there's so many different things we can be using it for the good. So
for me, it's the one time in life where I am able to fully focus on God and my identity in God and in general. So maximizing singleness for me is completely diving in to the person I want to be, the person God wants me to be, the desires of my heart, as long as God permits. I think I am being led a certain way to be a certain person for a reason. And being single, it gives me the chance to do that, to fully dive into whatever God may have for me. So I feel really blessed to be single. I feel amazing. I feel like looking back at my life, I've been so sad at times, I've been lonely, all these things, but where I'm at right now, the person I've become, I am so thankful to God that I've been single. I'm thankful and I'm grateful, and it just shows me every single day, like, even if it doesn't feel like it, God's plan is better than my own.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but you've kind of built a nice little picture, like continuum with the issues that you've brought up here. And we kind of talked about this when we were talking about the practical aspect of being aligned with who God has made us to be, considering all three aspects he's made us to be, right? Spiritual, mental, and physical or practical. So it's interesting how we've kind of built from super practical, like serving, which is super important, up to obedience, right? Obedience obviously leads to serving, because if you're obeying God, you will come to the conclusion that God wants you to serve. So, and then building backwards off of that, we get to Amanda's point, which is identity, who has God made you to be in your specific circumstance with the specific physical and spiritual skills he's given you. And then it gets to what I was thinking about when I asked you guys this question, which was the foundation of the whole thing. It centers around who you are very generally as a person. What is your role within the universe that God created for a reason, for his plan, for his purpose? And when you start with an understanding of who you are very generally in the eyes of God, who he created you to be as a human made in his image, above all creation in terms of the value that you hold and possess, then all of a sudden we can start building down. That's kind of the sort of paradoxical perspective of a relationship with God, right? It's because when we think of the foundation that God is supposed to be, we usually think of a foundation like from a house perspective, where you're building up. And in, when we're actually thinking about who God is and his character and his nature, we start to realize very quickly that, well, foundation is actually him building down to us.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of Christianity is that God came to us when we couldn't reach up to him. And realizing that the foundation actually starts here and travels, it trickles down, if you think about it that way, to each of those aspects that we've mentioned, from our very general identity in who we are made in the image of God, down to the specific purpose he's given us, down to, okay, well, I should probably obey him given those first two. And then what does obedience look like? It looks like a variety of things. It looks like serving. It looks like leading. It looks like pointing people who don't know Jesus towards Jesus, towards the gospel, getting them to see that they're broken, getting them to see that Jesus can take them from where they're currently at in their brokenness and take them somewhere that they've never been. That's infinitely better for them. And then when you think about it from the perspective of relationships, all of a sudden you start to realize if God is building that ministry, the ministry that I am as an individual person at his time, in his timing, and when all the circumstances that are necessary for those circumstances to be set up in future for things like dating, for things like engagement and marriage, then that'll happen when he sees that the super ministry that he needs to be created in the individual lives of each of us is sufficient and ready to be amplified with the addition of another person, if that makes sense.
Amen.
Amen. I would say to add on to that. Oh, go ahead, Amanda.
I was just going to ask, are you guys doing a separate podcast on dating?
Yes. Yes, kind of. We're still working out the kinks on that one. That's our hope.
Yes, we are. We absolutely are. There's your answer.
Yeah.
All right.
And that one I'm really excited for. It's actually going to be coming up on next week's podcast.
That'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
Bring me on. Bring me in, coach.
She's ready to play.
Find a boyfriend then. Oh, man. That being said, I guess for me, it's mostly going back to, this is perfect, because exactly what Chris talked about, how trickling down, it kind of goes back to Genesis 2, where before Adam even received Eve, he had responsibility, and he was he had some sort of task. And if you really think about it, like, God gave him a task. It was really like, name all the animals. And people would think, this is how I see it. People would think, oh, that's a giraffe, that's a tiger, you know. I think, honestly, when Adam was in his work, there were probably billions of animals. So, like, it didn't take him a day. I think it took him, like, years before he was introduced to Eve. And I really do like to put myself in this. I'm going to use this scripture, and it might be taken out of context, but I'm going to use it because I think it paints a beautiful picture. But the idea, like, a day can take 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can take a day. And I really do believe that, like, even though Adam was created on day, I believe, like, maybe two, the reality is, or no, day six, I don't know, six. Somewhere. He was created on one of the days, and basically he was tasked to basically name all the animals, which could have taken him 1,000 years. if you really put that into perspective of that verse. At least I'm not taking it literal, but just to say, I feel like God, this is the idea when it comes to like seasons evolve, right? Can we all agree? Like, seasons evolve. Our call to singleness is not forever, right? And at some point, maybe singleness is a choice. That we could also go into that question.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Where was I going with this? Oh, not yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. So our call to singleness could, like, it's just more of a maintain, and it does evolve. Our callings evolve, right? And so the way I see it is that I feel like when it comes to, like, our call for marriage or for dating, I feel like God has something for us to accomplish before we go into our season of dating. Does that make sense? I mean, I feel like we have to accomplish something in our singleness before we are granted the era or single or season of dating slash marriage, because I feel like it's like how a baseball, like when you see a baseball player play, you know, and he ends his season, he tries to end it strong, you know. I think it's like leaving behind a legacy so strong, so when you enter in your new legacy, you have some sort of like going back to rookie, you know what I mean, and working your way back up. Because once you're at the top, oh yeah, go ahead.
I don't think we necessarily have to achieve something to get a relationship or be blessed with a relationship. I do get what you're saying, but I don't think that we have to.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. It's just a thought process, just for somebody who wants another way to think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it depends on what you mean have to. Right. Like, from whose perspective? I'm going to be that guy, because I am that guy. It's like, well, what do you mean when you say I have to? Because, like, from God's perspective, yes, there are certain milestones that he's expecting. No, not expecting. That's not the right way to picture God. But you get what I'm saying. God has ordained a certain circumstance in your life to occur that will set you up for the season where you will be successfully married, let's say. Okay, so from that perspective, from God's perspective, yes, there are certain things that you will have done before you actually are ready for the season of marriage. But from our perspective, obviously, it's not like we're going around thinking, oh, check that box, oh, I check that box, I check that box. I've got 5 boxes left to check before I'm ready for the whole marriage thing. That's not the right perspective to have. And that's where discipline really does come in handy. You have to understand, what do I need to do today? In this hour, in this moment, what is it that God needs me to do here and now? What is my role at this moment in time? And when we have that perspective, then all of a sudden the moment will come circumstantially, opportunistically, if we're actually in alignment with God and following his direction in life, there will be a moment in time where it's like, wait a second, it feels like I'm kind of ready for this whole relationship thing. Wait a second, it kind of feels like I'm in a community where I might find that person. Wait a second, it seems like I might have met that person. Let's see what that looks like.
Wait a second, he's Christian. Oh.
Exactly. And it's like a whole continuum. It better end that way if that's the commitment you have in that regard. But I mean, like, there you go. So that's the emphasis, right? It's making sure that we're disciplined day by day so that in God's timing, when that does happen, we are prepared for that battle from our perspective.
Amanda, you have something to say?
Question for everybody. Where do you think, or do you think, it differs in how women and men act in their singleness? Do you think men and women have different needs and like passes that they should take in singleness? Or do you think it's like a, you know, gender neutral thing through and through?
Gender neutral.
I love how we're putting pronouns to this now. Gender neutral.
That word back. My fault.
Is it a unisex pursuit? No.
There's no good word, okay?
No, that was good. I liked it. I appreciated it a lot, actually. I'm sorry you took heat for that term. Okay.
No, finally
on this podcast, not on my watch, okay? Last time, how do you guys feel about
gender neutral? I'm just kidding. Somebody answer my question.
Yep. Right. See, now we're getting distracted. But okay, I'll recenter us because I definitely contributed. Okay. Well, no, actually, no. We want to hear Lauren because Lauren has something.
Yeah, Lauren, do you want to take the first step on that one?
Yes.
Ladies first.
God created men and women very differently. He wired us much, much differently for a reason. So I think that comes with many different, and sometimes the same, but many different temptations for each of us. Along with that, I think that if you are, how do I explain this? I think he also created us for certain purposes when we are in obedience and not falling into the temptation as men and women. So I think part of maximizing that as a man or a woman is going to look a little different as far as our purposes and everything go. But I just think that God, for specific reasons, created us much different from each other. So I think whether you're a man or you're a woman, it's really important to lean into your walk with him in obedience so that temptation, you know, doesn't come your way. Or
so from a woman's perspective,
that you can overcome temptation.
Right. So from a woman's perspective, what do you think that would look like for you?
As far as temptation goes?
Well, like in terms of just pursuing that season from a gender specific perspective.
Yeah. I think community is a huge one. I think having other, whether they're married or single women, mentors and people who you know are on that are on their walk with Christ. I think having those people in your life is a huge, huge one. And like I've mentioned 1,000 times, I think setting aside the time for Jesus every single day is huge.
Amen.
I think those are two big ones that come to mind.
All righty. Well, good to know.
Chris, I see you looking at me.
Looking at me. Looking at you.
I was going to say, I think one of those things to know what a firm foundation of like what biblical, because ultimately I want to say this, I'm going to say this right now. What we're technically touching on is the idea of biblical masculinity and biblical femininity. You know, what's it like to be a biblical woman of God and biblical male of God? A lot of people tend to throw out scriptures of like, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman, you know, is it accurate? That's not for me to decide. I feel like that's more of a your heart posture type of thing. For men, I think it's 1 Timothy 2, talking about deacons deacons. I'm going to focus on just deacons. The idea of like the characteristics of a deacon and an elder. There we go. I feel like those are also really good foundations. So when it comes to like biblical masculinity, or like not biblical masculinity, but when it comes to singleness as a man, I think it's this idea of refining characteristics that only males can have. For example, this is just looking future, right? So it's like, for example, if I'm a guy, right, then I can technically pour on to younger male audiences. Why? Because I'm a guy, but I can't pour on to a young female unless it's like some sort of gender neutral type of like discussion, you know? Does that make sense? Like, I'm going to use the right terminology here.
Yeah. That does make sense.
So it's like, for me, at least, this is just me, I think, when it comes to like this idea of like being a man who's single, I can speak to other single men. And the nice thing about being single, and this is also goes for women, is that I can also go outside of my way to talk to single women. I'm going to nail this because there's always that one guy who tries to like speak life into a relationship, a woman who's in a relationship. And I'm telling you right now, guys, get the heck out of there because that's not your place. Sorry, I'm not going to go on that rant, but I do want to say that a lot of guys try to like speak life into a woman who's in a relationship, which is, I don't think that's a recipe for disaster. And I learned the hard way personally. And I feel go ahead.
When you say that, what do you mean by speaking life into somebody? Because as like a brother or a sister in Christ, I feel like you could speak life into somebody. So just what do you mean by that?
I think when it comes to that, it's like this idea of like, how can I explain? Like, I can love on somebody who's like, are we talking? Well, actually, let me ask you this. Do you want to go from a relationship standpoint or do you want to go from a singleness standpoint? Because like, am I speaking life to the woman who's in a relationship or am I speaking life to a woman who's in her singleness? Because both have required.
I feel like potentially it should be the same thing either way.
Yes and no. Because like, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. So this is how I see it. All right. I can speak life to a woman who's single because I can show that loving, that generous, that tenderness. You know what I mean? Like I can truly like love her genuinely. Right. When it comes to someone who's in a relationship, that can easily be miscued. That can be misinterpreted. That's just how I see it. And that's how it's been really hard because sometimes like, that's not my job to like love her genuinely. That's the job of the boyfriend, right? That's the job of whoever her partner is, you know? I can be loving towards, like, I can be professional and be like, hey, I'm going to pray for you, right? But I can't, like, go out of my way and send her, like, Bible verses of encouragement because of the fact that I feel like I would be taking over someone else's responsibility over that. Why? Because she's in a relationship. Does that make sense, Amanda? I don't know. I could totally be, like, doing this wrong, too.
I would just as a single girl, like, I would want my guy friends to talk to me this, or like any guy in my life, I would want him to talk to me the same as he would talk to somebody in a relationship, unless we're romantically speaking, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but notice how you said romantically. So you see my point? Like that's where I'm going from. It's like from a romantic standpoint, like even I as a guy have to have boundaries, and those boundaries she also has to have too. Does that make sense? I don't know. I could be wrong.
Lauren, do you want to contribute before I contribute?
I mean, I think that does make sense. I think boundaries on both sides are really, really important if we're specifically talking about, like, you know, speaking life into people and trying to mentor others. Yeah, I definitely think boundaries are important in any situation, in many situations of singleness, absolutely.
Good. All right, Chris, good. Finish it off.
Okay. So it's a very complicated issue that we very, very much oversimplified. So here's what I think. I think that if it's a single Christian guy talking to a taken or young Christian lady who's in a relationship, I think at that point in time, there could be boundaries that might be crossed and that might come across incorrectly from both of their perspectives, right? From the interpretation end and the advice giving end or the encouragement giving end. But that's not to say if you as the single Christian guy don't want to make the attempt to get to know both of them, that you can't do that. And then with the understanding that you're building a relationship with both of them, you now have more trust and they now both see you as somebody who could potentially be a helpful resource in helping both of them grow. So I think when we're talking about the issue of single Christian guys speaking life into a relationship that is not theirs and is another young Christian lady's, that's kind of the boundary that you want to draw, right? You want to make sure that you're involved with both of them and not just the one of them. Because if you do, then that could be taken incorrectly, right? So that's what we should be pursuing in that regard from my perspective.
Absolutely.
No, that's an awesome perspective right there, man. Cause I mean, I think it's this level of like, you want to also respect the same, like the boyfriend, in other words, like as a guy, like if I was talking to his girlfriend, like I would want him to be in the room and like, as I'm talking to both of them. Cause I feel like there's this level of like, you want to give genuine respect to both parties and want to make sure that you're genuinely coming off from both angles and being like, hey, like I want you here because I'm talking to your girl and I'm also talking to you. I'm also talking to you because I mean, if you guys need to be spoken life to, I'm going to mainly communicate through your boyfriend because I respect him. And if like, you know, and he gets the call whether to reference me or not. Does that make sense? So it's like this level of like respect and communication.
So I guess my issue with the wording of that is like, I want the same respect as a girl in a relationship.
Mm.
So I feel like regardless of whether I'm in a relationship or not, I should be respected. And just like how you say it makes me feel like you respect the boyfriend and not the girl herself. So I think just like maybe like just, I don't know, maybe for me, like I would want the same respect as a single woman as you would give to a girl and a guy in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So I'll actually clarify that really quickly, because I agree with what you're saying. I thought something very similar. I was like, well, hang on a second. This seems incomplete. I completely agree with the aspect that David mentions when he's talking about the guy feeding into the guy who then would by extension feed into the girl. But at the same time, you as the guy do have the ability to understand biblical truth. And you can see both the perspective of the biblical man and the biblical woman if you're reading scripture from a complete perspective. That means that if you have already gained the trust of both of them and they trust you to speak into their relationship and advise them and encourage them, you can go to both. Because the reality is, I think this is somewhere in Corinthians, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. It's one of the Pauline letters where Paul, I think it's Ephesians actually, it's like the husband belongs to the wife and the wife belongs to the husband. So if they're Ephesians 5. If they are pursuing marriage, which a good Christian couple would be doing if they're dating, at least with that intent in mind as a potentiality, then they would understand that, hey, he can speak to both of us because we are both going to contribute to the same overall unit when we become one day, which is our intention. So you can speak objective biblical truth, and I guess using the terminology you guys are using, biblical life, speak life into somebody, to either the woman or the man, as long as they both trust you to do that, right? It doesn't have to be, I only go through the guy because I'm the guy, or vice versa, right? If I'm the girl, I only go through the girl to the guy. You can go to both because you have an objective understanding of what scripture says about the roles of both. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And that's where ultimately I was going to finish it.
Nice.
Absolutely.
I did want to bring us back, though, because we didn't really fully answer Lauren's question. Lauren kind of brought up the dichotomy, the difference between the male singleness pursuit in the singleness season and the female singleness pursuit in the singleness season. So we can kind of like, I think Lauren, I, and David didn't contribute yet, and then we can kind of wrap it up after that. But who of you two wants to go first in answering that gender-specific, gender-neutral type of debate question?
I think I stopped David from finishing. So, David, I feel like you should go.
I would love to, but the problem is I forgot where my train of thought was. I completely forgot where I was going with this. So that being said, I have nothing else to contribute at the moment. So Chris, how about you, bud? Would you like to...
Man, I mean, I always will. You already know this is my niche. That's what I do. So I'll jump right in. I think the two aspects that Lauren mentioned are two things that both women and men should be pursuing at the same time. From the guy's perspective, what should we be doing in singleness that the ladies might not necessarily have as much of an emphasis on is truly understanding our role and what that means to be a man, created in the image of God, to do biblically masculine things, right? Because we tend to think that we can mesh both our personal desires and our personal like enjoyments here and there and biblical truth at the same time. And you got to come to the conclusion eventually, if you're fully sold out to the idea that Jesus is king and that God is the one who has the plan for your life, that those two aren't synonymous at the foundation. Okay. This means that if you enjoy doing certain activities that are not necessarily not godly, that are not necessarily godly, and they're kind of in that gray area, you have to give the God side the benefit of the doubt. What does that mean? I know people, for instance, who are Christian young men, and they enjoy getting together with the bros, I guess, like to hang out, and they'll like go to maybe the bar or something like that during like the week to chill. And it's like, yeah, okay, you might be drinking in moderation, like together, but like, is this really optimizing your growth path? Because you seem to have some pretty high aspirations. Are you actually living life in a way that gets you optimally to those aspirations? Or are you just trying to get there with the minimum amount of contribution that you can make in your regard as the human in the human God relationship here? It's like, you got to sell out. You got to come to the conclusion. What I naturally want to do is not going to inherently be in alignment with God. And that means when they differ, or if there's a gray area, we have to give God the benefit of the doubt. And I actually do like that you brought up the Proverbs 31 woman. It was one of you. I don't remember which one it was. That I think was it was me. David. It was David. I remember that. And it's like, everyone talks about the Proverbs 31 woman. I think I posted this on my story actually the other day on Instagram. It's like, everyone talks about the Proverbs 31 woman and no one talks about the Proverbs 31 man. Go read verses 1-9 that come prior to the 10-31 that talk about the woman. That's actually being talked about, Proverbs 31, 1-9, from a woman's perspective. It's the words of the guy. What's his name? Lemuel, I think it is. It's his mom's words. He's just telling us what his mom told him. So it's interesting, right? So what does she say? What does a wise woman of God say about what a man should be? He's like, well, she assumes that he's a leader. First and foremost, she uses the terminology of a king, for instance, right? A leader in society. And she gets to the point. She's like, it's not good for kings to not be able to think wisely at all times that they can possibly afford themselves. It's like, you have to make decisions. If you don't understand how to remain sober in thought and in spirit by extension, you cannot be the leader that you need to be, and you will not lead the people you're leading, whether that be people, whether that be in a relationship sense, whatever that looks like. You will not do it optimally unless you are pursuing that. And I think that's the concept that we as men tend to forego a lot in society. I'm getting to the end of my point here so shortly, but that's pretty much it, right? It's like, you got to sell out for God wholly. And what does that look like? It means sacrificing the things that you might think are gray area issues. But to God, it's like, okay, like a gray area, sure. If you want a gray area relationship with me where you're like, I don't really know, but I'll live in the middle because, you know, it's fine. Not a big deal. Then you're not optimizing that. And as guys, I think most often we fall into sin in that regard and we get pulled away from where God wants us to be. So from the guy's perspective, I think that's my contribution. But Amanda, what do you think about the female specific perspective? If you had to give your two cents on that issue.
I think, for me, this is something I'm not very strong in biblically. I know, like, generally how I see, like, how I would want to be feminine, but I don't know how God would want me to be feminine off the top of my mind, so that's something I don't think I should speak on.
Okay. I have to say that's awesome, the fact that you're kind of admitting, because a lot of people will try to like pull stuff out of their butts and try to be like, yeah, this is what it is. So man, yeah. big props. I guess
I have read Proverbs 31, just saying, just don't remember what it says. Anyway,
I have it all.
He's got it right there. He's got the good book in front of him.
Yeah, I do want to say, when it comes to Proverbs 31, it goes, everything that Chris talks about is so true. And I think it goes back to that whole, the idea that men get to choose, you know, they get to choose who their wife is. And it goes back to the importance of why men have to pursue. Because, I mean, in the end, like, we choose to love unconditionally. It goes back to, like, we imitate the marriage of Christ, you know, where, like, men are basically representing Christ and the females are representing his church. And that idea is very important to keep sustained. I guess for me, I don't know if it's Proverbs. I can't remember, but it talks about a father will prepare for his children's children or leave an inheritance for his children's children, you know? And so I think in this society, man, I hate to say it, but it's like, I don't think we're thinking long-term. I think we're thinking way too short-term. I think, and this might be a really hot take, but it's like, I really do believe that like this generation is very, they're like exactly what Chris talked about, seeking comfort. You know, it's like, I want to feel comfortable in this. I'm only focused on the here and now. And then little do you know, like things start going wrong. Like, you know, maybe you like had an early family, you know, like you start getting hard into drugs or something. So this idea that you mentioned on selling out, I think of more being devoted, just learning to be devoted, like full on devoted, and just no matter what happens, like even if the Lord doesn't give me like whoever is supposed to be, like even if that doesn't happen, I'm still choosing to follow. So like, yeah, so I'm quoting Connor and Sean Johnson at the same time. Let's go. Lauren, do you want to finish it?
Yeah. So I think as a woman, it's really easy to be in your season of singleness and think about past relationships you've gone through and different things like that, especially when they've been in bad experiences, to be like, to kind of fall into this mindset that's kind of like, oh, well, I can just do it on myself. I can do it by myself. I can be strong. I can, you know, just this, I can do it myself, independent kind of mentality. It's really easy to fall into that, I think. And I think that can be not always the best place to be because you're not recognizing where your strength really should come from. And before you rely on, you know, anything else or even the right relationship, you have to rely on God for your strength first, because that's where it really comes from. So I just think that's something to keep in mind when it's tempting to fall into that do it myself mentality.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
This is true.
And whether it's because of, you know, men maybe seeming like they're not to say all men being the pursuers as much, or bad relationships or whatever experience it is, I just noticed that's a really easy mindset to fall into of just, you know, oh, well, I've done it on my own before. I can do it now instead of, but that's so reluctant to the strength that God gives you and the freedom he gives you when you're walking with him. And you can let that down and you can let that wall down and just, you know, let him take control of your life instead of, instead of trying to control every aspect.
I think one thing in singleness too, I think it's important to gain back that sense of that sense of innocence, like you've never been hurt before, like you've never been burned before, like you've never been stabbed in the back before. God wants us to love others like he loves us. And to do that, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to embarrass yourself, have to be willing to have mistakes happen. But as long as you are who God says you are and you act that way and you come with the presence of humility and servitude, if that's a word, like you come with that attitude, you won't be as sad when people burn you or hurt you. And it's okay to have that innocence. And it's okay to love people, and it's okay to keep yourself open and be open, because that's how God would want it. That's how he wants you to love people. So
That is good. Any closing remarks, ladies and gentlemen?
I got some, but if anybody wants to go first, I can always finish it. Nope. Okay. For anybody who's a romantic out there and just wants to, like, you know, at least for me, every time in the month of February, I always like to go through the romance books of the Bible, because during this time, I don't know why, I just always feel this urge to, like, look at rom-coms and just see, like, how love is depicted in this world's generation and see if there's any form of connection towards biblical properties or biblical foundations. So if anybody's actually thinking about, like, romantic books of the Bible to look into, I always say Genesis 2:4, Genesis 24, which talks about Isaac's marriage, Genesis 29, that chapter too, also I recommend. I forgot what love story that is. Ruth, the book of Ruth is also one that I feel like has so much to unpack, especially when it comes to the idea of, like, how to be a pursuer. Judges 16 talks about, like, I like to call it the red flag, chapter, because of the fact that I feel like it's Solomon and Delilah have this very interesting relationship that you can see it from many different perspectives. But to end off my point, I think just to kind of keep everyone considerate, you honor what you receive. And I really do like to say, like, every time I talk about singleness, come from a place of honor. Like, find somebody else who enjoys their singleness and just honor that, you know, like, tell them, like, hey, I'm honored that you enjoy your singleness, because, and be surrounded by them, you know, because something about, like, being surrounded by somebody else who's also single and enjoying it helps you enjoy your singleness too. At least that's for me. Even when I see, like, happy couples, I always tell them, like, I'm honored that you guys are truly an amazing couple that's really hard to find, you know, and something about that, I feel like God's going to, like, see it and help you receive it too. And for that being said, you'll feel, like, really encouraged by it. So anybody else want to throw that, want to finish it off with a few final remarks? No.
Well, one of the ladies? I just think that the season of singleness is such a positive thing. I think it can come with so much like joy and peace and like just so much positivity when you're on the path with Jesus. And I just think it's so important to know, like, it's the world that brings loneliness and temptation and sin and all this stuff into your life. But it's such a positive thing, just like anything else, if you have him near to your heart.
Yeah, this is true.
I guess I want to finish off with saying, like, it's okay to want a relationship, and it's okay to think about marriage and know you want to be married, because a lot of people do want to be married. And if you do want it, that's probably something that's for you in your life. So it's okay to want it. But I think it's also very important to stay present and to not be wishful for things or jealous of things that we don't have. That's one of the acts of the flesh, just saying. Don't be jealous of other people's life or belongings or whatever, people or experiences that they get. But it's okay to be single. And the reality of it is it does suck sometimes. But I also think that where no matter if you're single or if you're in a relationship, the grass looks greener on the other side sometimes. And I think that quote where it says the grass is greener where you water it. So a relationship may not be where you're at in life. It may not be your present path, but the one that you're currently on of singleness, you can water it and you can grow it and you can make it green and you can make it beautiful, and it is for a purpose. So maybe search that purpose, see where you can grow, see where you can learn and become more like Christ, and one day he'll probably bless you with a person. So
that being said, for $19.99, you can buy my – I'm kidding, sorry. Sorry, Ryan recommends a book for Single Today. It's a book that's on my book list. I really want to read. So that's tackling this project. So if anybody's really wanting a book to read, because like I said, I read a lot. Ryan recommends book. It's coming out on April 24th, Book of Singleness. He is not sponsoring us, but that being said, free shout out. I guess just to add on to Amanda, I think finding out, like, maximizing yourself, like, in wherever the grass is greener, I think it's way more important also. Like, it's super important that we as people try to, like, be as content in our singleness as possible, because – and we pursue singleness even as we are in a relationship, because those who don't, like, learn how to maximize singleness, that's where a lot of dysfunction happens in relationships. And it just becomes a domino effect, because if you don't like work through like certain traumas that you're dealing with in your singleness, you're going to have a tough time dealing with those aspects when you're in a relationship. You know, it just, Mike Todd says it the best, that singleness, I mean, when you're in a relationship, it just exposes everything about you, exposes every inch of you. So whatever you hide and don't address in your singleness, you're going to expose it in your area of dating and marriage. And it's going to be 10 times harder to work through, because you kind of built a level of comfort to it. So that being said, Chris, you want to end us off for $19.99? You can buy my book. I'm kidding. Sorry. I'm done. I'm sorry.
For $19.99, you can buy my book, actually. No, I'm kidding. We love some good old capitalist competition. Well, you know what? That's valid, actually. Good thing we haven't written any. So Anyway. to wrap us up, I think a good summary is to go back to that picture that we really painted that was really nice a few minutes ago. It was more than a few minutes ago, but earlier on in the show, where we established the idea of what the continuum sort of looks like and what our relationship with God looks like, his relationship to us, and then what that eventually turns into in terms of relationship down the road, right? Understand who he's made you to be at a very general level. Understand the skills and abilities he's given you, understand your identity, understand the various acts of obedience that you need to be attempting to facilitate and allow God to facilitate through you in your life. And then by extension, that will lead you to do things like serving, developing leadership skills, developing your ability to get into the word, read it, understand it, build a better prayer life, become a better ministry as a single person. And then over time, God will eventually have developed you to the point where he's decided that the ministry would be better if you had another person in it with you. And at that point in time, you can start to see a lot more clarity and a lot more ease of facilitation, we'll say, in terms of your relationship pursuits. And I think that that's got to be our emphasis when it comes to the season of singleness, just finding clarity in the confusion that Satan is just throwing at us day after day. And I think if we do that, we'll find ourselves in the peace of God, we'll be peaceful in our singleness, and we'll enjoy our dating relationships so much better. Well, that was a good episode, guys.
Woo! Well, that being said, if you learn something, like, comment, subscribe, feel free to reach out to any one of us at our socials. Chris, do you want to throw up the socials?
You might have to say them because we have an audience that listens to this on audio too. We gotta remember the entirety of the gang here for such as
Life. Yeah, that is true. So that being said, thank you so much for listening to us, guys. Feel free to contact us at our socials. We heart you. Killing it on every platform that we can. I am one of your hosts, David Soto at Soto David 2003, with my boy Christopher Nelson the second. He can talk about his socials.
Oh, I see how it is. Every man for himself. Wow.
Hey, I hyped you up. Me. I hyped you up.
Chris, what's the meaning behind your social media name?
It's so simple. It's not even funny. I am the second.
Okay.
I am the second. It is enough me. Said. That is me. Enough I said. Am the second.
The second Christopher Nelson. That therefore I that am is. Second. Lauren Black. Lauren Black, do you want to throw down your socials? Just say them out loud.
Here by Lauren Black. Pretty simple. Come get your balayage.
Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah. Yeah, she does hair, y'all. If you're in like the Denver, like Thornton, up north Colorado area, or if you want to just fly out from another state or part of the country to get your hair done, I mean, I'm sure she'd take any request that she gets, any appointments that she can get set up.
That's right.
And that being said, last but not least, the all the way from Costa Rica, Amanda. All right, you want to finish it off, Amanda?
Yes, X Amanda Lynn X. Two N's in the Lynn, and also the X's are because that's what people do in London. I don't know why, but I thought it was cool. So I did it when I was 13, and it hasn't changed. But anyways, love y'all.
Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you.
Yes,
Our little life group moment. Chipotle life group after church, and now this is awesome.
Chipotle slash noodles.
For real, depending on which one we actually agree on based on who shows up where.
I just show up at Chipotle every time, and I have to double check my text to go to Noodles and Company. True story.
Yeah.
Literally, this man changes it every time. He changes it every time.
Oh, I don't
know. You gotta switch it up over there.
Yeah. That's great. Oh, man.
Fantastic. That being said,
anyways, peace. Peace. We love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see you two
in the next one.
And everybody else who watched this and listened to this next week. Take care. Peace out.